good morning, good morning. Let's all stand to our feet. Praise God. Thankful for the presence of God today. How about you? Praise God. Let's just open our heart right now to God. And I mean, perhaps you're already there, maybe you're not. But God has so much He wants to absolutely release to you and to pour out to you. There are no shortages with God. God's not freaking out over what's happening on planet Earth. He's here to help us. He's here to help you. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you may be up against, you know, maybe you're on the mountaintop today. Maybe you're having a really good day. You had a really good week. Others of you have struggled with things, with your family issues, stuff at work. Maybe you're at home today and you had to make a decision whether to feed your family or put gas in your car and come to church. God wants to help us. And He's got some good wisdom again for us today. So we have to do this. No one can do this for us. We have to actually make the decision ourselves to open our heart and to listen carefully to what God may want to say to us today and to you personally today. God wants you to imagine with Him. He wants you to dream with Him. He wants you to think with Him. He wants to lead you as a good shepherd would into greener pastures and where the waters are still and not troubled, always troubled. And He wants to give you rest. He wants you to know that the cup that He prepares for you is one that runs over, and that you never have to be afraid. Even though you walk in the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Say it, I fear no evil because my shepherd is good. So let's just open our hearts and pray. God, we thank You for Your presence. We know You're here because You said You would be here. And we are so, so, so grateful to You that You will make Yourself known to us in this house of worship today. That no barrier, no hindrance will succeed, no weapon formed against us on any level. No weapon formed against us, God's people, will prosper. And so we're grateful and we're thankful that right now You're going to take this time to speak to us, not only corporately, but You're going to take time to speak to us, each and every one of us, youngest to the oldest, everyone in between. You're going to speak something into our life that has the power to transform. And we thank You for that. We're trusting You. Your word is important to us. We love the sound of Your voice. Love it. And so we thank You that as Jesus, You promised Your sheep hear Your voice. As we study the word, that God, we will hear Your voice. It will be alive to us more than printed words on a page. It will be alive to us as if You were whispering it in our ear as we study it. We thank You today for what we are about to hear and receive, what we've already been impacted by in church, but what we're about to receive. And we bless You and we thank You for it in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say strong amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's say our creed together. I am deeply loved and graced by God. His life is a gift to me. My life, well lived, is my gift to Him. I am determined to live the life I could never deserve from the place of His grace. My faith is audacious, my spirit relentless. I will not be deterred. I will not quit until Jesus is fully honored and a hurting world has heard the good news. If not me, then who? If not here, then where? If not now, then when? I am deeply loved and graced by God. Take a minute to say hello to somebody there around you. You can be seated. Thank you, God. All right. Are you excited to get into the Word today? Let's again look at John 10:10. It's the verse of Scripture that we have based this study on, the series we've called More Than You Can Expect, because it really comes from this verse. It really gets us to thinking about more about the life that Jesus has made available to us. He said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. From the Passion Translation, it reads this way: a thief has only one thing in mind. He wants to steal. Notice that a thief will come too, but he only comes to steal. He comes to slaughter, and he comes to destroy. Jesus said, I have come. The thief came to steal, to slaughter, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In the Passion Translation, he says, I have come to give you everything in abundance. Say it with me, everything in abundance. Say it again with an emphasis on the everything. Everything in abundance. More than you expect. Say it, more than you expect. And then he said, life in its fullness until you overflow. Let's add that to it. Life in its fullness until you overflow. Think about it as you say it again with me. Everything in abundance. Say it. Everything in abundance. More than you can expect. And then he said, life in its fullness until you overflow. Anything less is robbery. Jesus came that we might have life, Zoe life, the God kind of life, have it in abundance. Perissos is the Greek word. It has a long meaning of, it means overcoming, it means overflowing, and a ton of other really beautiful things about this life that Jesus came to give us in abundance. I've come that you might have life, that you might have it in abundance. One translation says, I want you to enjoy it. Again, anything less is just robbery. And we've been talking about it all month, and I hope that you've gotten some seed throughout the series that you're allowing to grow on the inside of you and take you to a new place in your experience concerning this abundant life. I think if all of us would just be really honest this morning, those of us who are Christians, we would say, you know, I have tasted of the abundant life. But this really doesn't describe the kind of life that I'm living day to day or week to week or month to month. It really doesn't describe last year or the year before that. It doesn't describe, doesn't match up with what I'm going through right now in my life. I don't want you to be discouraged by that. I don't want you to focus on what's not. In fact, let's be like God. Let's call things which be not as though they were. That's what he's done. That's what he's always shown his followers to do. You can let your experience, especially your negative experience, shape you in life. And we all have those. The decision is not whether or not we're going to have those in life. The decision is, are we going to let those things shape us? Or are we going to let what God has said and what God continues to promise us, what he watches over to perform in our life, shape our thinking and shape our believing? The choice is ours. And so I want to encourage you again today that what we need to be doing in order to experience, to bring what God has provided, to bring that reality into our everyday experience. To do that, we're going to have to create a culture, and it's a kingdom culture. And we can create, it's in us. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is in you, all right? So some of it is just creating that culture, letting that culture develop on the inside of you so that the prominent culture on the inside of you, in your spirit and in your soul in particular, cooperates fully with the Spirit of God and is in full agreement with the Word of God over your life. Amen. And also you can take the time. This is much tougher, but you can take the time to create a counterculture, the kingdom culture. And that's what the kingdom of God is. It is a, it's not a sub, another subculture in our world. It's actually a counter culture. Jesus would say, you've heard this. You've heard this said. I'm going to teach you another way to live your life. All right. The Bible says that it's okay to hate your enemy. Kingdom culture says it's not. World culture says, you know, you can be unforgiving. Kingdom culture doesn't allow for that. You forgive the way you've been forgiven. Amen. The Bible says if you really want to be wealthy, be stingy, be greedy. Think about yourself first. Kingdom culture doesn't teach that. And the king of the kingdom culture doesn't teach that. That wasn't his example. His example was just give. Be generous with your life. Come on, help me somebody. Look for ways. Look for opportunities to give. He said, if you would do that, it would be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Would men give? I love that. Say it again, running over. It's kind of what we were teaching, just declaring a few minutes ago concerning the abundant life. He said, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Cindy and I made hard choices, especially early in our married life, where we would go without paying the light bill, but we would not go without bringing tithes and offerings to God. And you know what? The lights weren't off long. It was just a season in life. It's been a long time since we could not pay our bills. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In fact, God has put us in a place. He's putting you in a place, and he wants to put you in a place where now you can help pay someone else's light bill. Now you can be the one. You can be an answer to prayer, helping someone else pay their gas bill, helping someone else put gas in their car. Amen. Because the abundance is not just all for you. You couldn't handle all of that. God wants you to manage it so that it's going out. And as it continues to go out, more will come in. As you're faithful over what God has given you and provided you, it's going to come back to you again, more to manage. Amen. More to honor God with, more to glorify God. Can I leave this thought with you today? Just plant this thought in you. I was able to purchase Cindy a new wedding ring some years ago. It's really, really, really pretty. And, you know, I remember saving for the first one. It was everything I could do to save for the first one. And I went to Zales and had to put it on a payment plan to pay for it. But I was happy to give it to her, and she was happy to keep it. Still has it. But I was able to purchase her a nicer ring some years ago. And I'm glad, you know what she does? I'm glad she wears it. I'm glad she didn't take it out of the box and go, that's pretty. And then put it in a drawer, put it in her jewelry box, in her closet somewhere. I'm glad she takes it out. I'm glad she's careful with it. I'm glad she wears it with every opportunity. You know, somehow I just feel blessed that she would wear that ring. I feel honored as her husband that she would wear that ring, not just because she's married to me, but because she likes the ring. Come on. Come on, guys, help me. I'm not trying to get you into trouble, and ladies, don't go out and request a new ring. I'm just trying to make a point that it really does honor God, and it puts a smile on his face when you and I put on the abundant life, because he bought it for us at great, great price. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have eternal life. It pleases God and blesses God that you and I would wear the abundant life, that we would learn what we need to learn, and that's what we're endeavoring to do. We would learn whatever we need to learn and then go ahead and do it, practice it, putting on this new life, putting on this new man, putting on this new creation, If any man be in Christ, the Bible said he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Aren't you glad for that? That old man was a rascal. This one has been recreated in God's image, has been made righteous, has the life of God in it. And now we just need to learn how to put it on. Easier said than done. Don't want you to be discouraged. It's time to put discouragement behind us for another day and put the promise of God before us for another day. Walk by faith, step by step. You're not always running by faith. Most of the time we're walking. Come on, by faith. And that's just one step in front of the next step. And sometimes Satan will try to interrupt the next step. But we've got to learn how to push him aside, set him aside, overcome him, put him under the step of faith that we're about to take in Jesus' name. Amen. So we got to create that culture. And today I just want to finish up the series and talk. And I have to go through these rather quickly. Again, my effort today is, yes, to feed you, but to really just plant some seed in you that will bring up some fruit in you long term. All right. So the first thing I would get ready to take some notes here, but the first thing I would urge you to do, just want to put it this way. At some point, all of us have to at least say at least. We have to at least embrace that life as God intended it is a personal possibility. Would you say that with me? Personal possibility. Sometimes we look at people's lives who are blessed and outwardly blessed, and they have, seems like they have so much more of everything that we hunger for and we desire, you know? And we think, well, God has blessed them, but he hasn't blessed me. Or that God, we've heard answers to prayer that people give testimony to. God did this for me and God did this for me. And you sit in your seat and you go, oh, I don't know how to feel about that. God did that for them, but I'm not sure he'll do it for me. And what I want to share with you as your pastor today is that you have to at least, if you want to begin to experience more of the abundant life. You have the abundant life, but if you want to begin to experience it more in your everyday life, if you want to experience more now, then you'll need to take some steps. And I think one of the first steps you have to take, I don't think you can skip this step. You have to at least consider that putting on the abundant life and experiencing more of it, that overflow life, that overwhelming life, that overcoming life, that it's a personal possibility. Would you say it again with me? Personal possibility. You see, we can't allow ourselves to live in theory only. And sometimes we develop that in our life, not even knowing it. We kind of settle in for unanswered prayers. We pray the same prayer, but we kind of settle into this that it hasn't been answered. And when we do that, when we get comfortable, this is just one example, comfortable with unanswered prayer in our life, then we can begin to live our life in theory only. And we can do that with a lot of things concerning instruction from God's word, from praying to going to church to giving to you know, sharing how God has changed our life and doing other things that we do in service to God. We can kind of begin to go through the motions and not being all that concerned about the impact. And if we're not careful, we can develop this unwanted numbness to walking with God. God wants us to pray, expecting that we will get a result, including the prayer, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And how many of us will wake up tomorrow, Monday morning, expecting some aspect of heaven to come to earth, to be manifested in our life? We should. And if we're not, we may have fallen into this living, like many Christians have, in just theory only. And God doesn't want us to be at that place. He doesn't want us comfortable with that. I remember when we formed this year the 120 prayer team, which represents the number that was in the upper room. One of the things that we just set out as a culture is this, that we're not settling for unanswered prayer. We're not going to be afraid to pray about anything, but when we pray about it, we're going to expect answered prayer. Whether it's crime in our city, corruption in our government, whatever it might be. We believe and are believing, and we want the church to be in agreement with this, we're believing for more of heaven on earth. And when we pray that prayer, we're expecting results. Amen. What I'm trying to say to you is the least you can do if you want to start into this process is anticipate and expect at least that this is a personal possibility for you. Don't make yourself the exception to living the abundant life. How many of you want more laughter in your home? How many of you would love to see more income streams into your business and into your life? You hesitate to raise your hand. You know why? Because religion has taught you it's bad to have that abundance. God doesn't teach that. The Word of God doesn't teach that. False religions teach that. Liars teach that. I mean, you can be greedy and not have a dime. You can love money and not have a dime in your pocket. Don't look down on the wealthy. You might have something to learn from them. How to actually do business. And especially if they're a Christian businessman or Christian businesswoman, how to do it with integrity. How to do it with honesty. Amen. Amen. Don't want to get sidetracked, but you got to believe, at least anticipate, this is a personal possibility for you. Every permanent change that God begins in our life begins with divine hope. I'm going to say it again. Every permanent change that God wants to bring into your life begins with divine hope. You can hope in something because circumstances seem promising. You can hope in God when circumstances are to the contrary. Because God's not basing what he's promising on what's happening in our world. Amen. And so hope in God. Let's look at Hebrews 11:1. From the Amplified, it says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we what? Come on, help me. Hope for. The things we hope for. Faith is important, no doubt. It's the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed, King James Version says, the substance of. It's of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact, what is not revealed to the senses. Hope is a really beautiful word in the Greek language. It's defined as joyful or pleasurable expectation. But what I want you to see today and make the connection is hope comes before faith. Faith has really nothing to focus on without divine hope. On the other hand, hope alone doesn't have the substance that it needs to be a reality. Hope and faith work together. God brings hope into our life. In fact, I just say this, move to the next point, that if we will let him, let Jesus do this. If you will let Jesus just speak to you about your future, he wants to give you, sometimes in great detail, he wants to give you something. He wants to imagine again life with you. He wants you to be in your future with you before it happens. And if you'll allow him to speak into your life, he'll cause you to see the future that he has for you. And I don't know if you can wrap your heart around this today, but what he has for you is truly mind-boggling. You say, my life doesn't match up to that. We're trying to change that. We're working to change that. More than that, the Holy Spirit is working to change that. Come on. You know, we may dream this big. That's a wonderful beginning, but God's got something out here exceedingly abundantly above. What you're thinking here, oh, Pastor, what I'm thinking so big, God's got something to get even bigger than that. He's a great God who's got great love and great hope for you. It's a tragedy to be faithless, but it's truly tragic to be without hope, to be at a place where you're not looking forward to the next day. You've given up. and you see nothing that's going to help you. God wants to truly change that. Amen. So again, number one is just to it's a first step, but an important step. We've got to begin to believe that this can be a personal possibility. Would you say it out loud with me, just speaking of yourself now? Thank you, Lord. Say it with me. Thank you, Lord. I have a future. And the abundant life is a personal possibility. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, we have to set ourselves to hear what God has to say on any subject, but especially the abundant life. We have to set our heart to hear what God has to say on the subject. Not just hear with our physical ear, but hear with the inner man. I love this from Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. The New King James Version says it this way. For the word of a king is authority and power. Who can say to him, what are you doing? Where the word of a king is, there's authority and power. It's huge. Both a lack of what God has to say about any subject and knowledge to the contrary to what God says can actually destroy, not just harm, but can actually destroy, demolish one's quality of life. Pastor, those are strong words. Are those biblically based? Yeah, Hosea chapter 6, verse 4, the first part of that verse, you know it, you've heard it. God said, my people are destroyed. That's the word that means to demolish. It means to crush. It means to break into small pieces. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Can I say to you this morning that not knowing the will of God can lead to loss, allowing the enemy to steal, to come in again and steal, kill, and destroy, just not knowing what the will of God is. In this case, ignorance is not bliss. Have you checked out on me already? Come on, let's amen some of this. Ignorance is just not bliss. It is sometimes, but not here. Not knowing the will of God will keep the door open for us as believers, for Satan to come in and just have a play day with our lives. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3 tell us the importance of God's wisdom, God's understanding, and God's knowledge. That's how God brings revelation into our life, through wisdom, through understanding, and through knowledge. Look at this, these two verses with me. Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, think about these verses in terms of building a great life, because that's how they're communicated here. You may think about building a physical home, and it still would apply to that. But the writer of Proverbs here is working to get us to think about building a great life or living that abundant life. He says it's done through wisdom. Say wisdom with me. He says it's done through understanding. Say understanding. And it's done by what? Knowledge. Wisdom teaches us how to build. How do we do this? All right. Knowledge is actually, the Bible says, through knowledge, the rooms bring the fullness. Through understanding, the Hebrew word there used means to erect it. So it's wisdom teaches us how to build a great life. Understanding works in us to actually erect the great life, to build it. And then knowledge comes along from God and helps us to fill every room of the house until it overflows. Wow. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding from other sources, again, can actually harm us and hurt us. So even as your heart is open to God, church family, be sure and keep your heart shut down to those who would come and lie to you, to the enemy who would come to lie to you, to any voice that would be contrary to what God has to say for you. Amen. You have to guard your heart. You have to manage your heart. You have to let the good things of God in, and you have to reject the things that are, again, are contrary to the scripture. Some of that, number one, can be just poor teaching. Poor teaching. And some of our teachers just, I don't know the other way to say it, is they just kind of make up stuff. And some of them are really sincere, and they want to make Christians feel better about what they're going through in life. But there's something greater than feeling better. It's actually getting better. Can I say it again? There's something better than just feeling better. It's actually getting better. Amen. And that's, God's going to help you get better. He'll comfort you, but he wants you to get better. You know, we see this, and again, I don't want to get off track here. Time's limited, but a lot of what happens when people, Christian people, are hurting, their pastors step up, their teachers step up, and they don't know the answer to why this is happening or what's going on. Even when they're asked, "Pastor, why did this happen to me? I love Jesus. I pray. I don't understand why this tragedy has happened to me, or this prayer has gone unanswered." And instead of a pastor who doesn't know the answer, or a teacher who doesn't know the answer, saying, "You know what? I'm sorry. I don't know. And maybe we should just pray and ask God, you know, to reveal it to us, and expect that when the time is right, he'll reveal it." Instead, we come along and say, "Well, God just allowed the devil to do this to you." And God has a certain kind of, you know, thinking on this. He wants to, he's taken your loved one from you. He's taken your child from you in order that you'll trust in him more. And they'll go on and on and on and talk about this. And what they're literally doing, even though they want to help, is they're hurting the situation more. You know why? Because they don't know what they're talking about. And on top of that, they're making up stuff that they shouldn't be making up. And they sure shouldn't be talking about God as if he wasn't listening to what they had to say. And all of us who are human can make that mistake. And that's why I say we need to guard our heart. When it comes to poor teaching, you know what? You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. Count on him to help you know the truth and let the truth set you free. Amen? Don't get over into that other stuff. The second thing, knowledge, wisdom, understanding can come from circumstances and experiences to the contrary. We'll latch on to what's happening to us. You know why? Most of us see through our own history, good or bad. I'm going to say it to you again. I want you to think about it. Most of us are just programmed to see through our history and to interpret life through our personal history, the good that happens and the bad that happens. I remember this church asked me a few weeks ago after this sermon, he said, "Do you think sometimes Christians have a hard time receiving this message about the abundant life because their experiences haven't matched up to it?" And I just thought, well, that's brilliant. I mean, it's absolutely brilliant. Because many of us, again, interpret life through our own experiences, through our own history, good and bad. But again, we have to let the truth shape our life instead of experience. And I would say that even experiencing good, because you can start thinking that gain is godliness. And the Bible clearly says that gain is not godliness. It's a blessing. God provides it, but it doesn't make you above others, especially more godly than them. Look at me. Look at my life. Needs to be some humility somewhere in this, and that's the next point. But let me just add to this before I leave it. There are also just outright lies. Satan, who is a liar, who can only lie. And then there are those who are commissioned by him to deceive men and wicked spirits. Seduction away from the truth is always ongoing and growing. And the Bible teaches, if you know the Bible, and I know most of you in this room do today, that the Bible says as the last days progress, that lying is going to become even more popular. Oh my God. People are going to become more and more comfortable with lying, and they're going to become more and more liars. And I can see that sometimes when I'm watching the television. I can see that not just in government and government officials standing before the camera trying to convince us that we're not in a recession. And that's not just a pick on him, because there's scores of people around him that are forming and fashioning lies that they want to tell the American people, and they want the American people to believe them so that they can stay in office and stay in power and use that however they want instead of serving us the way that government was designed to do. And some of it, not all of it, but some of it is absolutely fueled by demonic forces. Demonic forces. And demons are just being commissioned more every day to go out and lie and lie and lie to us. You know, I thank God for the Spirit of truth. And I thank God for this book. How about you? You know, you don't need a bunch of other books. This one's really good. And it's really pretty simple. Once you just set your heart to know it, holy, and give your heart to the Holy Spirit to teach you. He's your teacher. He's on assignment. Jesus sent him on assignment to teach us, to counsel us, keep us straight, help us. And he's doing that and will help us even as it gets worse out there. Come on. Even as it gets worse out there, we can still put on the clothes of the Zoe life in abundance. And it can be a testimony and an honor to the one who provided it for us. Amen. Amen. So let's get to the third point and we'll finish up quick here. Number three, as God works to persuade us to believe, we need to choose humility. All right. As God begins, he takes hope now and he begins to work with hope. He begins to persuade us to believe, to add faith to what we've been hoping for. All right. As he does that, we need to approach it with all humility. It's kind of like deception. Those who are proud don't usually know they're proud. They don't know that they're proud. How are they going to know? The Holy Spirit has to somehow get in there to show them that humility is the way to progress and the way to grow and the way to prosper and the way to advance. Humility. Say it again. Humility. Humility is not thinking worse of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. You're not at the center of your world. Jesus is at the center of your world. Amen. Humility. Psalms 37:11. Wow. Says this from the Passion Translation. Wow. But the humble of heart will inherit, watch this, every promise and enjoy abundant peace. Did you see that? That's in writing. The humble of heart will inherit what? Every, not just some, every promise and enjoy abundant peace. Very quickly, a word on peace. I shared this with the Tuesday group a couple of weeks ago. The word peace here from the Hebrew is the word shalom. Hebrew language can be represented by pictographs, and the pictograph symbols of the word shalom read, watch this, destroy the authority that binds us to chaos. Destroy the authority that binds us to chaos. The word shalom, quickly, comes from, this is on the screen for you. Shalom comes from the root word shalom, which means to restore, in the sense of replacing or providing what is needed in order to make someone or something whole and complete. So shalom is used to describe those of us who have been provided all that is needed to be whole and complete and to break off all authority that would attempt to bind us to chaos. Oh my God. Are you serious? That's amazing. Amazing. But the humble of heart will inherit every promise and enjoy abundance of peace. Humility readies us for to be promoted by God to a higher experience and place of life. The word promote can mean to elevate. It can mean to advance. It can mean to upgrade. Humility, watch this, also opens the heart to the assurance, to assurance and faith toward God. When we exercise humility, grace and favor continually flow into our lives. Say it again. When we exercise humility, both grace and favor flow continually into our lives. Number three, grace and favor change us. They increase our capacity for life. Do you see what's happening here? This flow, this path. Humility opens up the heart to assurance and faith toward God. Grace and favor begin to come into the heart, and grace and favor enlarge us, or they increase our capacity for more of life, or more experiencing the life we have, in particular, room for greater faith in God. Remember this as we move to the next to the last point, that grace enlarges our heart's capacity. Watch this. Faith empowers us to experience what the Father has for us. Again, a lot to remember today, but grace enlarges our capacity for more, including to trust God more, to really trust Him more. Amen. I want to trust God more. I want to, just like the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I want to trust. Grace does that. Grace takes care of the weaknesses I have, can deal with every day, still enlarges my capacity to experience more of the life that God has for me. And then faith comes along. Faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing God speak. So we're still paying attention to God in all this. We hear God speak. Grace has enlarged our heart to trust Him more. He speaks to us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So faith begins to enter into us because faith empowers us. Grace enlarges us. Faith empowers us to receive more, experience more of what the Father has for us. Number four, value. Are you still with me? Almost done. Number four, value the process of the Holy Spirit in helping us believe and receive what He has for us. God often finds us in our unbelief, and He finds us in our fear, and He finds us doubting. He finds us troubled. He finds us really struggling sometimes. But because He loves us so much, and because He wants to provide so much for us, He just begins working in our life where we let Him. And one of the things He's helping us to do is move from a place where we're not trusting God to a place where we are believing Him. Because now believing, now listen to me, believing, can't teach in this in great depth now. I did some years ago when I talked about the anatomy of belief. But belief is a process. When we experience faith, again, how does faith come? As we hear God speak. What does that mean? We hear God, we really hear God speak. What does it mean? Faith comes. We start being assured. We start distancing ourselves from the things that trouble us, we've been looking at, we've been thinking on, that are contrary to what God says to us. We start walking away from that. We're not at a place of believing yet, but we're starting to move. What's moving us? That's the power of faith that God is giving you as you hear Him. It's, again, it's empowering us to believe. It's not believing yet. That means you can sit in a church service like this or at home. You're watching online today. Thank you for being here in church with us online. And even as we've talked today, you know, you started to feel a little bit better about your situation. Your head, instead of being in your chest, is starting to look up. You know, you're just starting to feel some strength. You've been experiencing nothing but, it seems, weakness. Now you're starting to feel a little bit of strength. You know, your eyes are starting to come open, and you're starting to awaken again on the inside. Maybe a verse of scripture that you learned years ago that you forgot, you remember in that moment. What's happening? Faith is coming because you're hearing God's word. Faith is coming, but that's not the end all. Because if faith can come, faith can go. So we have to still let God speak into our life as faith continues to come and assure us in our heart. And what happens is that Faith, God by the Holy Spirit puts faith in there, empowers us, and brings us to what I'm going to refer to as the threshold of belief. And now it's going to be our choice whether we step over that threshold or we retreat from it. Faith brought us there. Faith can go and we can walk away from the threshold of believing. Let me just use this as a quick example. So many in our world today who have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, they've heard it to where they can quote it back to you. You know, saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. I know Jesus is Savior of the world. You know, I'm convinced of that. But when they die, they'll go to hell. You know why? Because they heard it, they were encouraged by it, they were assured of it, but they never made a commitment to follow Him. They've been in church services like this. They've been in prayer lines. They've answered invitations, but they've gone on to live the life they've always lived. There's been no transformation on any level, not in their spirit. But boy, you ask them if Jesus is Savior of the world. Yeah, I'm assured of that. But they haven't believed. It's like walking to the altar and never saying, I do. You know, you're there. You've been encouraged to be there. Love is at work, but you never really say, I do. Belief is when you say, I do. It was Jesus, not me, not any other preacher, not any other pastor who said, when a man sets his hand to the plow and he looks back, that's not the spirit of the kingdom. See, he's not worthy of the kingdom. Jesus didn't just think about going to the cross, church family. He wasn't just moved by faith to do it. He was moved by faith to do it in his Father. But he committed his life to dying, first for living for God, and then dying on that tree. Thank you, Jesus. He believed, didn't he? When Abraham was told by God to take his own son up on Mount Moriah and to sacrifice him, you want a picture of what it means to believe? It's knife in hand coming down. That's the picture of a believing, settled, fixed heart. It took an angel of God, to step in and stop him. What does it take to stop you? What does it take to stop me? When we're dedicated, we're dedicated. In the good, in the bad, come on, in the ugly, the beautiful. If we're believing, we're believing. Amen. Listen to this verse from Mark chapter 11, just as a quick reminder. Jesus taught this. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, well, Lord, I desire more of this abundant life. I desire experiencing it. I want to put on the new man like I put on new clothes, and I need help. I'm weak doing it. I'm not getting it done. I'm not tasting of it like I know you want me to taste of it. And so, Lord, I'm asking your help in that. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe. Say it, believe. Believe. One more time, believe. Believe. He said, believe that you receive them when you pray. And he said, you shall have them. Notice the believing comes first. And then the experience comes next. The last thing, number five, become a faithful practitioner of all God reveals and teaches you. And just do it one step at a time. One step of faith at a time. Become a faithful practitioner of all God reveals and teaches you one step of faith at a time. This is the transition to believing, to a believing heart is a hard one. This one's hard too, from, again, just being someone who enjoys hearing the word and they love listening to it. You know, again, as we prayed earlier, we love the sound of his voice. But Pastor James would come along because he noticed this in the church. He noticed in the church that there were people that were really attentive to everything that he wrote, and when he would talk to them, they were super attentive. But after that, there was nothing. There was no practicing the instruction. They just let it lie. And you know, Jesus taught a parable about that. He said, the sower comes to sow the word, and there's a type of soil that as soon as the word is sown, Satan comes immediately and takes it away because it's just lying on the surface. And then there's another type of soil where it goes in a little bit deeper, but then it gets hot, drought comes, and the word is given up and abandoned. There's another type of soil where the seed goes into the earth, same word, different kind of heart. Goes into the heart, but then, you know, things start growing up around it, thorns and thistles, and tribulation starts happening for the word's sake. And people give up the word that was sown, and so it chokes the word, and the word doesn't become fruitful. But bless the Lord, there's a type of soil. And dear God, in Jesus' name, this is the kind of soil we are. There's a type of soil that will hear the word and let it get into the heart, and we will add action to it because we believe what God is saying. We believe it. If God said it, we believe that. Why? Because God said it. Not because everything suddenly looks different on the horizon, but because Almighty God, the final word in the universe, you don't know integrity like God's integrity on the earth. He's good for every word he speaks, and he watches over his word attentively to perform it. Don't you give up on that promise God's spoken to your life. Don't you give up on the ministry. Don't you give up on your children. God spoke a word to you, and he's watching over it to perform it. Dear Lord, there's a kind of soil that says, God, I accept that, and I believe that, and I'm dedicated to it, and I'm going to keep it in my heart. I don't care hell, high water, whatever happens. I'm not going to be discouraged. I'm keeping it in my heart. You know what the Bible says about that believer? Because that believer had to overcome what the other three groups didn't overcome. He had to overcome 1, 2, and 3. He had to overcome all of that. That's dedication. And when he did it, he started bringing forth fruit. Watch this, some 30-fold. What? Yeah, a seed was planted, but it started coming forth 30-fold. And then 60-fold, it doubled. We have some abundance at work here. And then 100-fold. That is maximum yield. Wow. I want to be counted in that number. You know why? Oh, Pastor, you're so greedy, and you're so materialistic, and you know, you just, that's the way you are. I always thought you were like that. No, it's because I really believe that if I wear that ring that God gave me and I put it in light by living it, the one who gave it to me is seen, is revealed, and he is honored. And that's what I want. And I think that's probably what you want too. Amen. James would say this, and I'm done. He said this. Just a minute, we're all going to do that, I hope. But he said, if you're a hearer of the word and you don't do it, he said, you enter into a state of being self-deceived. James 1:22, don't just listen to the word of truth and not respond to it, James wrote. He said, for that is the essence of self-deception. You don't even need a devil to deceive you. It's self-deception to be a hearer of what God says. He reveals it to you, and then you just don't practice it. Because you can get so comfortable, again, living in theory. You start living in theory instead of letting God's word change your life. He said, for that is the essence of self-deception. So always let the word, always let the word become like poetry written and fulfilled by your life. Those who do the word that they are taught are blessed in all they do. That's the abundant life. So either we're going to live, our choice is to either live in the blessed place or to live in the self-deceived place by not doing the word of God. It's not to say that, you know, in fact, let me just read this to you, final statement. I really don't know, true statement from me, anyone who faithfully practices the word they know, who does not live in the blessing promised. That's not to say that their lives are perfect or they're perfect. That doesn't mean at all that trouble doesn't come their way. Again, tribulation arises for the word's sake, is what Jesus taught. Trouble's going to come when you become the enemy of darkness. You got an enemy. But trouble comes when you become an enemy of darkness too. Are you listening? When you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Satan puts kind of a target on you, and he tries to bring trouble, more trouble, into your life to get you to do what? Turn loose of Jesus, turn loose of your trust, forget the dedication that, the promise you made, and just kind of walk away from what God has said to you. Obedience is so important. That's just another way of referring to doing the word, is obedience. You want to do what God says to do. If God said in the Old Testament, go wash in the river seven times, three times wouldn't have been good enough to be cleansed. Six times wouldn't have been good enough to be cleansed. That's almost cleansed. If God said to wash in the river seven times, you wash seven times. And then you came up out of the water with the promise fulfilled in your life. So would you stand to your feet with me today? I hope with all my heart, of course, those of you who know me know this, what's important to me is that you prosper. That you prosper, that you walk in health even as your soul prospers. I just have no greater desire as a pastor than to see you being blessed in whatever you're setting your hand to do. But I know the process, and I want you to value the process, and I want you to stick with the process. I want you to encourage one another when you see one another struggling or one another down. I want you to reach out to them the way God has reached out to you and lift them up. Say, hey, we got this thing to get. Let's go. God made a promise. Let's go. I know the economy's kind of shaky, but you know what? God said, I'll supply all your needs according to the riches that are in glory by Christ Jesus. Don't you be afraid when you go to the gas pump and you're looking, how am I going to pay for this? God will supply all your need according to the riches that are in glory. Pastor, so many businesses, small businesses have shut down over the past couple of years. Those poor people, what if that happens to me in my business? God said, whatever you set your hand to do, sir, will be blessed. He said, whatever you set your hand to do will be blessed. He said, I'm going to bless you in the city, and I'll bless you if your work is in the field. I'm going to bless whatever your work is, whether it's in cattle, or it's in farming, or it's in some other form. I, your God, I'm going to bless you. Because you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. And again, your enemy may come out against you one way, but he'll flee before you seven different ways. I'll confuse him. I'll destroy him. The number seven means thorough. It means complete. So what he's saying is the enemy's going to come out. He's going to try to steal. He's going to try to slaughter. He's going to try to take from you. He's going to come at you one way. I'm going to thoroughly defeat him. Greater is he who is in us. Thank you, God. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen. There's a lot of good things that the Holy Spirit wants to point out to us and lead us into. Taste of it. Live in it. Get ready. Church, get ready. Come on, say it with me. Get ready.
Get ready.
God is on the move.
Amen.
Amen. Can I just say to you, move toward him. Don't move away from him. God's on the move. Move toward him. Don't move away from him. Father, thank you for the word we've received in this series. I thank you, God, that you've charged us with some good things. And some of it involves us making different choices concerning what we think and what we've believed and how we've lived our life. God, help move us more to a place where we are really aligned with you and walking with you and agreeing with you on this path of life and abundant life that you're leading us down. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the Holy Spirit for bringing this word to our remembrance. As now we move on next month, Pastor David's going to be talking about something else, but don't let us forget this. Don't let us forget what you took a month to build into us. And now you want to take it further. You would take years to build it further. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let's thank God today for his word and for his goodness to each and every one of us.